The Lord be with you. This past week for New Year's, I was fortunate enough to go visit my hometown of Milton Freewater in the far northeast corner of Oregon. If you haven't heard of it, don't feel bad. It's a town of 7,000 people, but it has a close place in my heart, even though I haven't been back there for 8.5 years. And so I was excited to get to return. And of course, it was the first time Annalisa, my wife of this past year, first time she had ever been to Milton Freewater. And so I got to show her all the places that were really important in my childhood. I showed her my old school, my best friend's house, the first Lutheran church that I attended. And I showed her Sager's Shoe Store. Now, for those of you who don't know me, it is perhaps surprising that of all the places I would show my wife that are significant, I would show her a shoe store. I will say, this is the place where I purchased my first pair of Birkenstocks, so it does have that going for it. But to say I showed her Sager's Shoe Store because it is here at this shoe store where I met a wise man. Now, our Bible talks about wise men coming to visit Jesus. So what are these wise men? Who are they? Well, it's important to know, first of all, in Greek, the word that's translated as wise men is magi. And that's important because when we tend to think about the people who visited Jesus bearing gifts, we tend to think of the song, We Three Kings from Orient Are, which from a biblical level is highly inaccurate. First of all, the Bible never specifies there's three. We heard the reading. It just says there's plural. The tradition of three comes about because they bring three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Also, nowhere does it say that they are kings. Actually, it doesn't even say that they're all male. Greek, like modern Spanish, if there's a group of people and one person in the group is male, you refer to everyone in the whole group as male. So I would refer to everyone who's come to Faith Lutheran today, all the wise men who've showed up. So what we know is at least two people came, and at least one of them was male. But more specifically, the people who came to visit Jesus are people that you would least expect to come looking for the Jewish Messiah. Because the Magi, first of all, they weren't ethnically Hebrew, they weren't religiously Jewish, and they weren't even part of the Roman Empire. See, the Magi came from Persia, from what is modern-day Iran. And the Magi were followers of a religion called Zoroastrianism, an ancient religion that believed the world was divided into good and evil, to light and dark. And because of that, they worshipped fire as God. And they worshipped sources of light. And so there was a class of, you might think of them as clergy, in the Zoroastrian religion that studied the stars as these sources of light in the midst of the dark night sky. Which is to say, the Magi who come to visit Jesus are astronomers. They weren't studying the Hebrew scriptures. They weren't worshiping the God of Israel. They were looking at stars. They were doing their job, which is what Herb Sager did at Sager's Shoe Store for 50 years. Sager's Shoe Store was founded in 1914 by Herb's father, Bill, and then Herb Sager, in 1955, took over the store himself. Like his father, Herb built his business on the model of customer service. But he went beyond his father's customer service of trying to just see each person as a someone to be helped and served. Herb sought to serve each people by caring for their feet. He was famous for any time someone came in with a problem with a foot, he would try to figure out exactly what kind of shoe could help take away their pain and improve their quality of life. He would order shoes from all over the world for this store. And when he would come across people who had foot problems and there were no shoes that would meet their need, he personally would handcraft shoes for people. He became famous, particularly people suffering from diabetes. He would create shoes specifically for each person to meet their foot. He became so famous that surgeons from Portland, after working on a patient and the patient now had, you know, a uniquely shaped foot or had perhaps part of their foot missing, they would send their patients from Portland 4 hours away to Milton Freewater to Sager's Shoe Shop so that Herb could build them shoes that would fit their feet. To say this kind of customer service resulted in good business. People would come not only from all over Oregon, but from all over Washington and Idaho to Sager's Shoe Shop to buy shoes from Herb. But Herb didn't just do this for the money. He was legendary to make sure that any family that came into his shoe store that needed a pair of shoes would not leave without those shoes, no matter how much or how little money they had. This was particularly true of children. If children came into the store and needed shoes, Herb would often just give them away for free. Herb served God through his store. To say, in Martin Luther's time, there was an idea that the only people who served God through their work were monks and priests. But among the many changes that came about in the Reformation was Luther's idea of vocation. Luther writes that the milkmaid, as she's scrubbing a dish or milking the cow, as she does these works, if she holds the word of God and God's commandment in her heart as she does them, her work is done in the praise and service of God. Luther states that a farmer, a blacksmith, and he even specifically mentions a cobbler, which is to say a shoemaker. He says, a blacksmith, a farmer, and a cobbler are consecrated as priests and bishops to serve God by caring for the body of Christ, by building up the community around them. And it's to say that any work can become sacred work if it is done with God in your heart for the service of your neighbor. And any work can be work that helps us see God in our midst, whether our work is staring at the stars or looking at people's feet. But to say it's one thing, each one of us can, at our job, try to help people, do the best that we can to meet the needs of the people who come across us, and then at the end of the day say, ah, we've done our job, now we can relax. But that's not what the Magi do. Their job is to study the stars, and when they see this new star and they see it to be a sign that God is revealing the Messiah has been born, they don't just say, hey, we saw a star in heaven, how beautiful, we'll stay here. No, instead, they leave their home, and they journey 1,200 miles from Persia to Israel. Which is to say they crossed through modern-day Iran, Iraq, and Syria to get to Israel, which is, right, crossing mountains, crossing deserts. And much like today, that area was the border between two empires at war with each other, Persia and Rome. They risked their lives to follow the sign that they saw in their work from God to see what gifts they could bring to this child that had been born. And so too, Herb did not just serve his community through his store. Herb risked his life to care for the people that he met each and every day. At age 22, after he came back from serving at the end of World War II, at age 22, Herb started Milton Freewater's first volunteer fire department. And they set up, so this is 1940s, they set up two sirens, one at each end of town, because they didn't have any other way to communicate. And when there was a fire, the sirens would go off. And so Herb would run from his store to the police department and find out where the fire was. And then he would run to the fire station and write it on a big old chalkboard so that the other volunteers would figure out where to go when they arrived. And then he would hop on a fire engine and ride to the fire. And he would often do this with his young children, who he was taking care of in the store with him. I talked to Herb's son after his death, and he said, oh, yeah, he'd let me honk the horn and, like, turn on the siren, all sorts of stuff. Say, Herb did this not just as a young man, for 55 years. Herb served the volunteer fire department. Eventually into his 60s and 70s, he stopped racing on foot. But he would still race in the fire engine. He never gave up a chance to ride in the fire engine. For the last 19 years, he served as the assistant fire chief. And actually, he served 1 year as the full-time fire chief. It was a paid position, but he donated all the money he received to local charities. To say, the Magi don't just see God in their work. They risk the entirety of their lives to go and find this God who has given them a sign. And they don't just go to find this God. They go bringing the gifts that they have with them to bring, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which are incredibly valuable, but frankincense and myrrh are also sort of uniquely found along the Persian Gulf in Arabia, Iraq, and Iran. To say they brought what they had with them as gifts for this newborn child to strengthen and inspire the next generation to come. And Herb did the same. In the 1980s, when Milton Freewater's economy was on the decline because it had been based on the pea industry, and I guess for some reason canned peas were not doing super hot back then. So the town was kind of in a decline, and Herb got together with a buddy and said, what can we do to revive our town's spirit? And they said, well, you know, we like bringing people together, and we like grilling corn. And so they started a block party where they would just grill corn and give it out to free. And this block party grew over time to become what is known as the Muddy Frogwater Festival. No one is entirely sure how it got the name Muddy Frogwater, other than it kind of sounds like Milton Freewater. But like many small town festivals, it had arts and crafts booths, it had food stalls, it had music. It also featured uniquely a frog racing contest. You'd get a frog and you'd get a squirt bottle and you'd try to squirt your frog in the right direction. Whoever got across the finish line first won. It also featured a contest between the volunteer fire department and the professional fire department, in which they would tie a zip line across the park, and they would hang a giant barrel in the middle, and then they would each have fire hoses, and they would try to spray the barrel back and forth. And of course, Herb was always the one leading the volunteer fire department. Which is to say, this little festival in a town of 7,000 people became an annual tradition that brought people from all over the Pacific Northwest to come and share food and watch frogs and be with people in a small town with a silly name for no other reason than that Herb at one point shared what he had: corn, a smile, and his love for his town. Now, Herb Sager happens to be the grandfather of one of my best friends, whose name is Randy Sager. He was one of my groomsmen here at my wedding this past summer. He was the guy with the big red beard. I don't know if you remember him. But I'll also say, I didn't meet Herb through Randy. I met Herb because Herb also served on the city council of Milton Freewater for 40 years. And towards the end of that time, he said, you know what, we need to bring youth so that the city council can hear their voice and so that they can learn what it means to run a city. And so Herb advocated for a youth representative on the city council, and I had the honor of being the very first Milton Freewater youth representative. I will say I accomplished nothing of note during my time on the city council other than giving a rousing speech denouncing the city's plan to tax arcade games. I said, look, arcade games keeps kids off the streets. The city should be subsidizing arcades, not taxing them. I was thoroughly ignored. Say, I may not have done anything on the city council, but I learned a lot. And mostly what I learned was about Herb. And what I learned from him is about the choice we have with the life that we are given. You see, it doesn't matter who we are, or what our job is, or where we're from. King Herod and the Magi have the same resources to learn about God's Messiah in their midst. They both have the stars above, which they can see, and they both have the ability to walk to where that star leads them. But Herod is afraid. He is afraid that when God shows up, God will take the things that Herod wants to cling to. But the Magi and Herb, they recognize that their work, their passion, their gifts, all these things come from God, and so they use all these things to serve God in thanksgiving. And because of that, they can see in the stars above and in the feet below signs of God's presence in our midst, and through their lives, they become signs to others of how we can serve God also. Now, 1 year after I left Milton Freewater, Herb, at age 77, was mowing his lawn when he fell over with a heart attack. He died by the time he hit the ground. To say, Herb, his whole life was a member of a small Baptist church in Milton Freewater, but when it came time for his funeral, so many people wanted to come that they wouldn't all fit there, and so they had to move the funeral to the next town over to have a large enough church to fit everyone in. And so they carried his casket on the 1947 fire engine that Herb would ride to every single fire. I didn't get to go to that funeral. But on the night that I heard of his death, I climbed up the hill that looks over Milton Freewater, and I looked out over the city that Herb loved and served. And it was completely quiet, the way our Christmas carol writers like to imagine Bethlehem on the night of Jesus' birth. It was completely quiet except for the sound of a single cricket who was chirping in the wheat fields. And I thought to myself, if the Magi could see God speaking to them in a star, and if Herb could see God's children in a shoe store, then I will see in this cricket the voice of God singing praise and gratitude for the life of a servant who has come home. May we all, like the Magi, live our lives so that in everything that we see God's glory. And may we live our lives so that in everything we do, people see in us the signs that point to God. Amen.